This is an interview with Mr. Carl Hellenbolt with Helen McAllister. Mr. Hellenbolt presently lives in Burt, New York. This taping was done on February 21st, 1978. Mr. Hellenbolt, when were you born?
October 15th, 1897.
Okay. And where were you born?
As far as I know, I was born here in Medina.
Do you know if you were born at home?
I think so, but I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. What was your father's name?
John LaValle Hellenbolt.
And your mother's maiden name?
Eva Leona Pratt.
Pratt?
Pratt, P-R-A-T-T.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have brothers and sisters?
As I understand, there was the first child born was a boy, and I guess he just lived two or three days. I don't know what the conditions were, but I suppose maybe injured or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then my sister, she was about 2 years and 5 months older than I was.
What was her name?
Marion.
Marion. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And she's been dead for approximately 11 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and that's it? And that was all?
That was
yeah.
It.
What did your father do for a living?
Well, he was born, brought up on a farm. Mm-hmm. Is that running?
Yeah. Oh, sure.
And he came to town about the time that, I can't tell you just when, but I presume just before we were born.
Mm-hmm.
And worked, I believe, as a meat cutter somewhere on the street here.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had gotten two or three people together. Among them was George Bowen,
mm-hmm.
S.A. Cook, and Don Bigelow, they call him.
Don Bigelow.
And mm-hmm. they formed the corporation of S.A. Cook and Company.
Your father was in on that?
No, he worked for them.
Oh, he worked for them, yes.
And he was the first man employed, but his first job...
He was the first man employed with the S.A. Cook Company?
S.A. Cook plant. They started at a little building, I think it's torn down now, near the ironworks, near the sweat ironworks on Glenwood Avenue,
yes.
The west side of the street.
That's where the S.A. Cook Company started?
It started in a little building, and he built a couple workbenches. That was his first job for
right?
the men to... Worked with a...
He was hired as a carpenter, was he?
No, I don't know. He was just hired as a... And,
all around.
All around farmer. Shortly thereafter, they came over on East Center Street, right down just west of the creek, O'Quarter Creek, and put up a partial of building. But as I understand, most of it was an old foundry.
Mm-hmm.
That was the main part of the S.A. Cook plant on East Center Street to start with. Down the hole, they always called it.
Yes.
Well, then a little later, in 1914, they built what is now a building that has withstood all the other, because those were wood buildings, and this is a brick building in that... in that part of the, what was the plant, was the powerhouse. And they developed power in those days, part of the year, when the water was in the canal.
Now, was that Mr. Sweat's?
No, this was before, this was, as I understand it, I think, I'm not sure when Sweat, have you got the date when Sweat?
I don't remember. I've got it on tape, but
well,
I don't remember.
I'd be wrong, so I don't like to
no,
say.
No, that's all right.
But 1912 was when that little powerhouse was put in, and they developed 500 horsepower. And in the summertime, when the canal was operating,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
there was a spillway back at the plant.
Yes.
That water come down the spillway, and that's where they developed their power.
Oh.
And then across the road from that was a little mill. You know, there was a wooden mill. And they developed power, and it all came from O'Quarter Creek that way, you see.
Hmm.
Blood had it opposite the City Hall on the east side of Main Street.
Mr. Blood?
Mr. S.P. Blood, and then it dropped down, and Cook and Company bought what is out, I think it's just a blank piece of property on Orient Street on the east side. There was a shoe plant there, shoe factory. This is on the north side of the railroad. And there was
shoe factory in Medina?
Right here in Medina. And they developed some power right there to run their, where's that stream run across that Orient Street and dropped there about 50 feet, and then it came over to that mill and the raceway, and then it went over to Cook's, and sometimes the mill would want it, and then they could bring water out of the canal and run their mill, not the Orient Street plant, but run this little feed mill by water coming out of the canal in canal days, and they got it there. Cook's got it, the spill for the power plant.
Who ran the shoe company? I never heard of that.
Pardon?
Who ran the shoe company?
That's before I ever heard much about it, but they said there was a shoe plant in there. That was North Railroad, and of course Mahar plant was a brick building south of the railroad on the east side.
Yes.
That was a frame plant, mm-hmm. what they call their frame mm-hmm. work.
Mm-hmm. Now, where was your father's farm?
At that time, he bought from Webb at Barker a 98-acre farm on the corner of, on the Ridge Road, east of Oak Orchard on the ridge, south side, and that farm was mostly fruit.
Fruit farmer. Mm-hmm. Did he have a variety of fruit, do you remember?
We had peaches, pears, cherries, and quinces, and apples. Hmm. And that was one that I went on when I had the trouble, had to get out of the
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you really have good memories about that place.
Well, yes, I do, but mm-hmm. I never lived on it. I lived in Medina, but I used to go back and forth. They had a man that worked by the year.
A hired man?
Uh-huh.
A hired man?
Well, his name was Fleet Caulfield and his wife. Mm-hmm. And he was with me for several years. And,
what do you mean he was with you? You said that you didn't live there.
No, I lived in Medina.
Uh-huh.
I lived where we built on at 415 Catherine.
Yeah. Well, anyway, your father was had a farm on Route 104. And how old would you have been then when you moved into Medina? Or when he moved into Medina?
Well, when he moved into Medina, he moved in when he started for Cook & Company.
So that would have been about 1914.
Oh, no. 14 was, this was started, Cook & Company was started on what we call Gulf Street, Rock Street, north of the canal along in, when they first started, I would say it was probably around.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, so then, When did your father move into Medina? Or he didn't for a long time, is that it?
I think he was in Medina because I think he worked for meat market here temporarily there when he first came in. He came in before 1895.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay. I'd like to ask you, where did you start school?
In the kindergarten. At the old Central School, which fronted on Catherine Street.
Yes.
Of course, you never saw that building.
No, that was that torn down?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Torn down when they built it.
Are you referring to the old academy?
Well,
Medina Sandstone?
No, that is the high school.
The high school.
No, I started in the old school that fronted on Catherine. Where Pearl Street butts into Catherine?
Yes.
Yes.
Right there.
Yeah, well, that was the old academy. Originally the academy then.
Well, I didn't know whether there was one before that or not, but I couldn't say.
Uh-huh. And then did you go all the way through school in Medina?
Went to the old high school.
You went to the old high school.
On South Academy.
Uh-huh.
And we lived on South Academy at 504. That's really, I guess, I'm not sure I was born there, but that's where we lived until he bought the YMCA property on the corner of West Center and Catherine, yes. The old house there.
Yes. About your schooling, what do you remember about it? What did you do for lunchtime, for instance? Did you go home?
Went home, because I was only just a few feet away.
Yes.
Lunch at home.
Did you have, you started kindergarten, I didn't know they had kindergarten at that time.
Yeah, we had a Miss Baker.
Did you go all day or half days?
Or don't you remember? I recall it, we went, I think all day, but I wouldn't want to say for sure.
Yeah, Miss Baker. That's what I recall. And then did you have just one teacher all day long when you got into first grade, second grade?
Right.
You didn't, how about the sports activities? Were they anything like they are today?
No. I can remember they used to, the high school boys used to come out there and what they call throw a weight, a ball. You've seen the steel ball. How far they could throw them, for distance. That was one of the things, and then...
Shot put.
Pardon?
The shot put.
Shot put, that's what I wanted to say.
Yes.
And locally, they practiced on the high school ground, that is the school ground, you see, the high school, and the school took that whole block.
Mm-hmm.
I can see them playing football out there when I was pretty small.
They didn't have helmets and all the equipment they do now.
Oh, no. And then, of course, in the wintertime, they let us exercise in the Armory. We had no YMCA or any building. Well, we used to go in there and run the hurdles, the 220, 440, the 880.
Are those races?
On the main floor, they put temporary stakes.
Mm-hmm,
They were just held, stuck there, and rope around. So you'd have to keep inside that rope. Oh, many a track meet was in there.
Were you in the track?
Not very good at track, no.
Mm-hmm.
I used to high jump some, but never pole vaulted.
Uh-huh.
Dwayne Fink were the pole vaulters back in the day. They're a little older, but I can see them both. They can really pole vault.
Dean
too many.
Dean
Hink? Husband.
Really? They didn't do that inside, though. They did that outside, right?
There was a time, I guess, they used to do that inside, but most of it was done outside, right side of the high school, right side of the old high school.
Oh, my. Well. So, what year did you graduate from Medina?
I graduated?
Yes.
1916, high school.
Oh, yes. Now, you said, after that, continuing on with your schooling, did you have any other schooling further than that?
No, I took commercial subjects all I could in high school.
Yes, you said you took, commercial law.
Commercial law.
And?
Commercial arithmetic, bookkeeping. Those are the principles that I took in them.
Who was your teacher, do you remember, for those subjects?
I think, if I remember rightly, Miss Haight was she was a very large person,
mm-hmm.
and I think she taught some of the commercial subjects, and you had a Miss Smith, I believe, that taught some.
Mm-hmm. Who would be the principal at that time? Was that Mr. Brown?
No, I think it was Mr. Merriman.
Merriman.
Mm-hmm. Paul R. Merriman, I believe it was.
Now, you said during the summertime, when you were still in school, that you worked helping to construct the Cook buildings?
No, the first job I took was, of course, my dad was there at the Cook plant, and I went out and... carried the water for the men to drink on that building when they built that building on East Avenue, that brick factory in 1912.
The Cook building.
Cook factory. 1912. S.A. Cook Factory.
You carried the water for the men to drink?
That's right.
Uh-huh.
See, they had bricklayers, carpenters, roustabouts, you might say, and they'd all be, you know, quite thirsty there in the summer. It was all in the summertime, of course. I didn't work there in the winter.
You carried a pail of water?
Pail of water.
Did you have just one dipper for all the men?
Mm-hmm. That's all.
They didn't worry about germs?
No. That was probably more sanitary than some of the things they operate today,
probably.
Yeah. Then you said you worked, were you still in school, or was it after you'd graduated that you got a job with the Raleigh Lumber Yard?
What about
it? You worked with the Raleigh Lumber Yard?
I started out and worked there. And
As a bookkeeper.
And I was there until, I think it was late 1919, Mr. Raleigh was about on his deathbed, that's S.G., they call him Seth Raleigh, and Harry came out and told me that if his dad died, which of course they expected as a condition of his age, they're going to sell the yard, so he says, we're telling you ahead of time so you can look around for, we'll give you a good recommend to get a job somewhere else. So then I went and hired out to what was now the FMC, was Niagara Sprayer Company in Middleport.
Do you remember what you got, what your salary might have been then? Was it by the hour, the week, or?
As I recall it, I think I worked for $150. Wait a minute. I don't think I better put that in there. Cut that out. I'm not sure. I don't like to put something down, you know.
Oh, that's all right.
I'm not sure. I worked there until 1921, and it was married at that time, was married in 21, and then I...
Well, let's wait just a second. I want to get you married. I want to get you married. Let's wait a minute.
Okay.
Let's not hurry through this. What was your wife's name? What was her maiden name?
Mildred Althea Stebbins.
Stebbins. Where was she from?
Lockport.
Lockport. And how did you meet her?
Well, it was one of those things that you don't put this on the tape, are you?
Yes.
Oh, geez.
Yes. Well, no, that's fine.
It's quite a, you know, long.
Well, just some highlights. I mean, did you meet at a dance or through the church or in school or?
No, we're. Now, how did you want me to start now?
I wanted to know how you met your wife.
Well, she was a... Now, wait a minute. Merritt Brown's wife was a sister of her mother. Mm-hmm. And... can you shut off your machine a minute? Come down to Merritt Brown's, and we were a distant relative of Merritt Brown through my dad's mother.
Oh.
You're not putting this on her.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
No, that's fine. That's good enough. Well, so you did know her casually then for quite a while.
I've known her since I was a little kid.
Yes. Oh, that's fine. Well, now, when were you married?
1921.
21. Do you remember, was it a home wedding or a church?
Home wedding at Lockport. She lived in Lockport.
Uh-huh.
You want that on?
Yes.
I'm going to say she was a bookkeeper, an accountant at the Harrison Radiator. Harrison Radiator started, you know, back in about, quite early there, but it just began to move. Mm-hmm. So she had a very good job.
I see. Did she keep her job after you were married?
They begged of her to keep it, but she says, no, we're going to live in Middleport, and you wouldn't want to be running back and forth, so she gave it up.
Yes. What about transportation at that time? Would that have played a part in that, do you think? What about the transportation? at that time?
Well, we had a car. We were we had a car. We were married. And of course, my dad had a car about 1907.
Good.
He had a two-cylinder Buick. I remember that chug, chug, chug. So we had a car there for years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you were married in 1921, and you were working at Niagara Sprayer.
That's
how long
right.
did you work there?
I was, let's see, 1921. I had worked there since around 1920. And then I had what they call the flu in 1920. No. The flu after we were married, about 1922, and I had to get out of there because they said that too much poison in my, and of course I expected that that was my end because...
But now, was this the flu or was this tuberculosis?
Well, this turned into tuberculosis and the flu from, well, I mean, I suppose it set in there,
mm-hmm.
and I then had to give up my job at Niagara Sprayer, and my dad had this farm on the ridge
mm-hmm.
at the, mm-hmm. the corner. I guess I gave you that, didn't I?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And I went there. I farmed it for 8 years.
Oh.
Back and forth. That was. I didn't live on the farm. We lived in a house that is right back of our...
Well, you say that... You were sick with the flu and tuberculosis and like that. What? How did the doctors take care of you? Did you have to go to bed and stay there, or what?
Well, I had several hemorrhages there over a few weeks, and finally started to get along. And I slept outdoors in the summer. I screened the porch in and slept outdoors. In the winter, I had plenty of air, but didn't sleep outdoors. But
mm-hmm.
anyway. I got over it and mm-hmm. built my health up. I mm-hmm. got to be quite strong and got rid of the hemorrhages.
Mm-hmm. That's but you didn't have to go into the hospital?
Never was in the hospital for it.
Uh-huh. Wonderful. Well, then you worked doing on the fruit farm, right?
Mostly fruit.
Yeah.
Apples, pears, peaches, prunes, and cherries.
And quinces.
Two quinces.
Yes. Yes. Well, now, were you able to support your wife doing this?
Oh, yes.
I mean, she didn't have to go back to work or something.
No. Mm-hmm. She never went back to work.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No, we did very well on the farm in those days.
How did you sell your fruit?
Of course, the cherries went to the processor. The apples we packed and...
In barrels?
In bushel baskets, barrels and bushel baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And peaches we packed in bushel baskets, shipped them right out.
How did you ship them, on the train or on the canal boats or what?
No, they went mostly by rail and iced cars.
Where did you send them to?
Well, we usually sold the peaches. I sold some to... Dye Cold Storage. And,
where was Dye Cold Storage?
Pardon?
Where was that?
The storage is there now on the
in Medina?
Side of Medina, south side of the track, the railroad track,
oh, yes.
West side of Main Street.
Oh yes.
That big building.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, the other storage was at that time was mm-hmm. the Raleigh Storage on the other side of the track.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, they built the what they call the Reed storage up at the west end of town.
Hmm.
On the, that storage is there now. In fact, that's part of the Fisher Price.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Okay. And you did this.
Three storages here.
Yes. You had one hired man, and then you and the hired man did all of this.
Well, yes, we did all that. You see, he did it mostly with machinery. hand trimming of trees, of course.
Yes.
But when it comes to picking the fruit, we'd cherries especially, paid by the pound, and have pickers come in, have 25, 30 pickers.
They would be local people, wouldn't
just
they?
Just local people,
yes.
Usually just mostly farm boys and girls.
Yes, yes. Okay. So when you left the farm, then what did you do when you stopped working there?
Well, when I left the farm,
One thing you haven't said, excuse me, you said something about working in a bean house. When did you do
that? I didn't work in the bean house. I was in partnership with Charlie Jackson in Middleport.
What time of life was this?
Jackson, J.J. Jackson and Son, that was the name of the plant. The plant is partially there now, but it's almost, I guess it's just standing there.
You were in partnership with him?
I was in partnership in 1 second, you shut off now?
Oh, yes. Why did you leave the farm?
Due to the fact that my health had been recovered, and I thought it best to get into something that was a better mm-hmm. outlook.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why I got in. And then there was a long, you see, we handle all kinds of farm produce.
Apples. And this is with Mr. Jackson?
This was Charles D. Jackson.
Charles,
Under the name of the concern of J.J. Jackson and Son. That was his name.
Oh, I see.
That was the name of the outfit. And we handled...
That was in Middleport.
Right. We handled these dry edible beans. We used to machine them, clean them, machine them, and have girls, 25, 30 girls, women picking, hand picking off machines.
Sorting them out?
After they come in the rough, you know, you'd process them that way. Put them up in 50, mostly 100 pound bags and ship them to brokers somewhat. And we used to ship a lot of the beans to Brockport, the A&P,
who
put them up in cans.
What kind of beans were they? Were they
mostly pea beans, red kidneys, and yellow eyes, they call them.
They were grown locally?
Grown locally.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of farmers had 5 to 25 acres of beans put in every year, you know. Annual crop.
They don't do that around here much anymore, do they?
Pardon?
They don't grow those?
Not too much. The A&P, I'm not sure whether they handle them anymore or not. They used to process them in Brockport and can them there, but I'm not sure whether that's either mm-hmm. operating or not mm-hmm. that way down.
How did you dry the beans?
The beans were usually what we call dry beans. In other words, when they had made their full growth, they would dry on the vines.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they didn't get quite dry or had weather conditions that they couldn't be dried on the stalk, they would cut them and thrash them. And mostly in those days, you had to have thrashing machines because they didn't have these combines
mm-hmm.
way back early, you know, like they have today. Mm-hmm. So they'd be thrashed. You'd set them up on the farm, set your thrasher on the farm and operate right there. Farmer thrashed his beans, cart them in somewhere. We bought a lot of them. Somebody, Oakfield, Haxton bought some there.
Oakfield what?
At Oakfield. That was, I've forgotten the official initial, but it was Haxton and Son that was the way it operated.
Well, your father was?
It was the old, what you would call McCormick property, and I believe I don't know how the YMCA willed it or whether they obtained it from someone, but they wanted to sell it, and he bought it, and you might say he renovated all through, and then we moved in. Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, was there a Y in Medina at that time?
At one time, as I remember, way before my time, but I think they had a room up over one of the stores, long towards where the Knights of Columbus are somewhere. And I think they just had exercise in those days. Mm-hmm. But that was way before my time. Mm-hmm. And they always had an intention, I believe, to build a YMCA, but it never was materialized. I don't think they got enough means.
And you said that was before Mr. Barnes was here.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, we had a... you want this on?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I was going to say, we had a man that was the he was the community secretary for that purpose, you might say.
Really?
And
do you remember his name?
His name was, I think, Gilbert Roehrig, R-O-E-H-R-I-G. I may be wrong in the spelling. Somebody could probably correct that somewhere.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he had charge of the boys and girls, mostly boys. And we had, the office was right west of the Newell Shirt Factory.
Oh.
In an old house that stood there. Mm-hmm. I believe it was a two-family house. We had the west side of that house that was there. That was the secretary's office, you might say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, so your father bought this house and fixed it up, and then you moved
fixed
in there?
Fixed it up, and I lived there for a while, then we were married, and we built this home, which is, I've forgotten the woman has it now, it's the first place north of that house on Catherine Street.
Yes.
That'd be 415.
415 on Catherine. Do you remember who built the house?
John Linke.
Is that right? Okay. Did you have a child at this time?
We had a car. When we got married, we had one of these runabout Fords. See, that was way back in 1920, 21, when we got that car.
A runabout Ford. Is that a Model T or is that different?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to go back and forth to Lockport and that see my girl, you might say. See my wife.
Did you drive in the winter?
Not much in those days. Of course, you did some, but nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't the...
No snow plows.
Equipment. You didn't have the equipment, you know, to plow the roads. They did it some, but it wasn't safe to go very far.
Not many gas stations either, were there?
No.
Did you have... you have children? You have children?
Just one.
You have a son?
Son.
When was he born?
He was born 18th of July,
1924. What's his name?
Kenneth.
Kenneth?
Kenneth Stebbins. That's his mother's maiden name.
Yes. Kenneth Stebbins. What does he do now?
He is a surgeon, a urologist, and lives in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Say, does he have children? Does he have children?
He has four.
Oh, yes. Okay. So you moved into your own home then. When would that be? About?
I would say, we lived in Middleport, see, after we married temporarily, and then we built this home, and we lived, I'd say, when your son was born. Yes, I think we got in there just before.
Okay. Now, has this been your life occupation to be a salesman, or what did you do after that?
Oh, I was just temporarily on the road to keep myself out of mischief, you might say. But I mean, you know, I was in a condition that I didn't want to get into too many things because my health wasn't sufficient to.
Mm-hmm.
But I did work on the road, but I mean, I called on farmers and so forth on the road.
Mm-hmm. What did you do after that?
Well, I haven't done too much of anything.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Last few years.
Well, I'm not surprised. So you really...
See, I'm 80 years old.
Yeah.
I told your wife they were going to bury me in 22 with TB.
Yes.
You fooled them. Who was your doctor, do you remember, by the way, on that?
I think they had... We used to have Maynard, and who was the guy we had from Buffalo? I forgot him. Come down and pronounce me a TV man.
You've always been active in the church. Have you always been here in this church, in the Presbyterian church?
Yes, I went there most, all my life, you might say. Mm-hmm. Been a member there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I've been an elder there for years, but of course not active now. I think I was made an elder in 1919, or, no, wait a minute, don't put that down, let's see. Oh, 1920, I believe.
1920. How has the church changed over the years? Or has it?
Well, not too much. I don't think we've grown too much. And I would say probably it's going along about even keel.
Who was the minister of this Presbyterian church when you first joined? Do you remember?
When I first joined, his name was... I believe Reverend Ellenwood.
How would you spell that, do you know?
E-L-L-I-N-W-O-O-D, I believe.
I see. Okay. Have you belonged to fraternal organizations, Masons or Lions Club or anything?
I belong to the Masons and the Odd Fellows, both of them here.
When did you join? Do you remember the Masons?
I joined the Masons when I was 21. So you see, that's near 60 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Are you still active?
Well, I get there once in a while, not too often. Mm-hmm. And the Odd Fellows, I joined, I think, just before I joined the Masons, I believe. Mm-hmm. I think I joined the Odd Fellows in 1918, and the Masons shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What was the purpose of the Odd Fellows? My grandfather belonged to that, I remember.
Well, they have some benefit. Not, I guess there's not too much, but there was some. And then, of course, they had their home for the elderly. They operate that one there in Lockport now. Mm-hmm. The Masons, of course, are along that line, and their home is in Utica. Mm-hmm.
The Odd Fellows now no longer are in existence, are they?
Yes, they are in existence. They meet, but it's in the Masonic Temple.
Oh.
And I don't know if they're too active, but I know they do have once in a while a call for this, that, or the other, but... I'm not...
You still are a member?
Oh, yeah.
How large membership would they be having now, do you know?
I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many's in the room. Mm-hmm.
What about politics? Have you ever been involved with politics?
No. No, mm-hmm. I never sought any office. Never been
what,
in any office.
What about the school? Have you ever been on a school board or anything like that?
No, I've been an elder in the church for about 60 years.
That's a pretty good record.
Pardon?
That's a pretty good record. What do you remember about the...
Have you had enough now so I can be going?
Pretty quick. We're almost through here. What do you remember about the Depression? You were in Medina during the Depression when it hit and the banks closed. What do you remember about that?
Well, I don't remember too much because we were mixed up in it. And we in business there in Middleport, we got along because we used Lockport banks. Mm-hmm. So it worked out pretty good for us, but mm-hmm. of course the things were down. But, mm-hmm. It didn't affect us like it did a lot of people that were dependent on certain things. Mm-hmm.
Arden, can you think of anything else you'd like to ask?
Do you remember the Kelly House down there on East Center Street?
The Kelly House.
Kelly House.
Kelly.
Kelly House.
Yeah. I remember that there was that old building there, and wood frame construction, but I never was in it. But I remember there was this.
Mm-hmm. You remember that caught on fire, do you?
No, I don't remember much about that.
Now we'll continue on here. All right, what about the canal? Do you remember? Do you remember it's coming through?
Swimming? Did you go swimming up there?
I never went in swimming. I never learned to swim, really.
Oh.
But they used to do a lot of swimming at the old sand hole, or whatever they call it, up on the canal there, west of Medina a little ways, but that's about all I know about. Only about going into the canal business, you see Cook & Company profited on that, or the, right there, and the Sweat, you see, has profited on the north side, because you see there's a power, I don't know whether that operates now or not, adjacent to the canal, mm-hmm. and the one he built, then the one at Waterport. When I was in the lumber yard, we furnished most of the cement for that one at Waterport.
Oh. Hmm.
How did Cook Company benefit from the canal?
If you look, I'm not sure so much about it now, but there was a spillway north of that old factory. Do you ever remember seeing that factory down there?
No.
See, that old factory used to cover all that space.
Yeah.
And there was a spillway there, and the water was controlled, of course, by the state, but when they could get it, and there's water in the canal sufficient, they used to let it drop there south, on the south wall, mm-hmm. back of that plant,
yeah.
and then it went over a spillway there, and then down into a flume, or where there was a water wheel, and they developed 500 horsepower at that plant right there,
yeah.
when they could get the water.
Yeah.
Well, you see this stream come down Orchard, and at one time there was a mill at Shelby that
yes.
used the water coming over a small wheel there. It came down into Medina, just before it reached Medina, there was an old ice house up here. And they used to use that to that dam there, you see, to cut that ice in the winter and fill it in the summer, or fill it and put sawdust and shavings in there.
Where they ever made ice.
Yeah.
Well, then you see the water come down, and it came right on the cut across Main Street, way up south end. It came down in a raceway, an open raceway, back of those houses on the west side of Main Street. Mm-hmm. And when it got to about where the dye storage is, on the south side of the track, it went under the railroad, and about where the city hall is, it went across and blood run a flour mill, a small mill there. He made a little flour, I guess, and he ground feed. And then you see back of that, it dropped quite a few feet where he got power for the
yes.
water wheel. It went along the side of the north side of the railroad, and when it got down to Orient Street, there was a spillway there where they developed horsepower. And then part of that went down into the what's now Orchard Creek. Part of it went around a raceway. It was probably a raceway 10 feet wide under that old mill. You remember that mill that was crossing Cook?
I know there's one. Was one there?
Old wood mill. They used it. Then you see that was on about a level with the roadway, just under the roadway. And so that water would run, if they took water out of the canal, sometimes they'd get water to go over Cook's into their power plant. And sometimes the mill would want water. They couldn't get it from Shelby in the summer because there wouldn't be water running.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe in the fall or spring they'd get water by juggling there between Cook & Company and the mill. It was Duckwitz and Hines on the mill, they called it.
Right.
And they'd get water for their wheel and their grind and feed. And I guess they put up a little flower there. So you see, that was a valuable piece of property, that getting that water
yes.
when you could use it. And that building is still there. Now, I don't know whether the
Niagara Mohawk used it or not, but they've still left that brick building in there. That was a 500 horsepower development right in there.
Yeah.
What do you remember about Prohibition times?
Well, I don't remember much about it. I never was a was a drinker, so it never bothered me, and the family is all
right.
Same.
What about the wars? Were you ever in the Army or Navy?
I was in the
Reserve?
The Students' Army Training Corps, because I started in and went to the University of Michigan, and they had us, the first thing we did was start drilling. Mm-hmm. This was in 1918, and of course the war was over with shortly, so we were just discharged, and that was about it.
Somebody else I've interviewed has remarked about this, and I can't think who it was.
Well, there were some people from around here out there. There's one boy from Middleport Canyon, Laverne Canyon. Now, he was out there, but there's some others that I can't.
Now, where was this that you went?
Ann Arbor, Michigan, University of Michigan.
Did you attend the University of Michigan?
No, after this was over with, I got out. I didn't really care about going through a four-year or five-year course, so I just came back and...
You were there then for maybe a year?
No, we were only there, if I remember, about 6 months, so...
Is that right?
Then I went back in the lumber yard.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That was in 1918.
Uh-huh. What, so you were never in the service?
Well, I was in doing the war, 1918, there for... Probably we were in... less than 6 months.
Remember the prisoners' barracks up near Heinz's during, was it the Second World War? Do you remember they had, was it German prisoners that they had there?
They had something going on, but I don't know enough about it to mention it, you might say.
Yes, okay. What about the circuses or fairs? Do you remember circuses? Did the circuses used to come?
Usually there was a circus performance here about once a year, and the man that came here usually was Andrew Downey.
Andrew Downey?
Andrew Downey. But I don't know just what the relationship was, but they used to call Andrew Downey McPhee. Now, maybe he was jointly owner or maybe been some relation, I don't know. But Andrew Downey was the original.
I see. Where did they hold the circus?
Quite often up there on the corner of Gwynn and Oak Orchard, and that house, that brick house, wasn't in there then. They sometimes had the tent right in there.
Really?
Then, of course, they have had it, I guess, later, maybe over on the ball ground.
Oh.
But they did hold right on that corner there for some time.
Was that field, the athletic field, has that always been one that, an athletic field?
Well, in my time it has, but I don't know just how they acquired it and how it started, but I...
As long as you can remember, it was a... baseball field.
Baseball, principally baseball. They used to play interplay in the summer. Medina always had a team back in those years, and they'd bring teams in here, and they had about the best ball diamond there was around the state.
Oh, yeah.
But to give you any details, I don't know.
Do you remember anything about the fairs? Did they used to have fairs around here, or was it always over in...
Albion.
Albion.
Yes, as I remember, there was no fair around here except you had to go to Lockport, Albion, or Batavia.
Oh, yes.
Of course, you could go to that one over in Buffalo there, Buffalo Way, but mostly it was either Albion or Batavia.
Were you ever involved in the Grange? Yeah. What do you remember about... the medical, how do you feel about medical care today?
How do I feel about it?
Yeah, do you think that it's adequate?
Well, of course, I have never been into it in any particular way other than whenever I had to use the services, where I always had plenty of service, but I don't know too much about it other than my son is connected out there.
Yes, that's nice. Well, of course, your wife was ill.
Yeah, well, she had malignancy, and they had quite a time with that, but she was confined for some time up in, see, her home was in Lockport, so she was in Lockport Memorial Hospital
there. I see.
And she died there.
But you feel that, for the most part, medical care has improved over the years, hasn't it?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That isn't running now, is it?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Just about through.
Well, I was going to say, the first hospital here that I remember of was when we lived on South Academy Street, 504, mm-hmm. right across the road. The house is still standing there. It was a holy house. They used that for a hospital.
You remember that?
Oh, lived right across from it, right across the street.
Have you ever been on a hospital board?
No.
Uh-huh, nothing.
What was the name of this?
I think it started out as the Mary Louise.
Oh, yeah.
I think this Mary Louise somebody, maybe that was her name, but I was thinking that was her first two names of the Mary Louise something. And that was what they
was
called.
Did you say that was on South Academy?
South Academy,
at that time?
The second house on the south side west of Ann Street.
West of
Ann? I don't know who lives there today, but it's the second house west of Ann.
Oh.
On South Academy. On the south side.
Yeah.
You said something earlier before the tape was running about the house, well, where Dr. Blanchett lives now, near where Inez Reynolds lives.
Next to Inez Reynolds.
Yeah, what did you tell me about that?
Well, that was built by Harry Rowley, and Harry Rowley and his dad were the ones that had the S.G. Rowley Lumber Company. They're the ones I worked for.
I see.
When I first started out.
I see.
It's a stucco-covered house.
Yes, yes. Let's see now, would you have been around when the armory first came into being?
Well, I was pretty small. I'm not just sure, but it was built around the 1900. Mm-hmm. And we used to go over there and back in the, before they had any signs of things inside for boys and girls, but they'd let us go in there sometimes and practice and run around and play basketball a little. Not much, but they were pretty conservative, you know. They didn't want to get that dirtied up and had to do a lot of cleaning. But we did use it for a while before.
It's my understanding that they used to have very fancy dances.
They did. About three or four times in the wintertime, you'd have, 250, 300 couple in there. Very nice dances.
Did you go to any in there?
Oh, yeah, we used to go some.
Did they have bands or what?
They had an orchestra, usually. Mm-hmm. But usually they'd put it on the north end there and have it for like on a Friday night.
Who would sponsor that? Who would be apt to have a dance there? Would it be a club or a church or what?
No. You mean who had the benefit of the dance?
Yeah, I mean, who would hire the hall?
Well, I would think in those days, I have no way of knowing, but I would think probably it was all done under the supervision of the fellows that, for instance, they'd have their, mostly were boys from around here in the company, and I suppose they'd have someone appointed to run it, and whatever, if there was any benefit, what I mean, if they made any money, they'd probably use it back in their...
Mm-hmm.
In the
armory.
Have you any ideas about what they could do?
Well, no, I don't. It's too bad to ever let it be torn down, it seems, so it should be used for something, but just what would be done, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you remember the time the radios first became popular?
Not too much, no. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It doesn't just sink in too much. Mm-hmm. Just had one, an ordinary radio, and that's about all I can say.
Did you have hobbies? Have you had hobbies over the years?
Not particularly, no. Uh-huh. Nothing particular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Main Street has changed a lot. In Medina?
Oh, yes. Of course, when you get back to the, before they even had the pavement down, that was a pretty dirty place, you might say, because in the summertime, you know, the wind blew or anything, and the horse-drawn vehicles and one thing and another, you know, you got quite a lot of dirt around, but when they paved it, well, that cleaned it up a lot. Of course, it could have been, I suppose, a lot better. But
did they have a before the present traffic red and green traffic lights? Did they used to have one of those signs, stop and go, and the policeman in the middle, four corners? Somebody thought they remembered that, but I haven't heard anybody else say it.
I can't recall it. I know that there was the done without a traffic signal, but
don't specifically
see the detail. Maybe somebody at the city hall would have. Is Miss Burnham alive yet? I forgot.
Burnham.
See, she was the.
Alice Burnham.
No, this is Burnham. There was Jim Burnham, her brother, and his sister. What the dickens was her name? Her name was Burnham. Agnes Burnham, and she was the city clerk for a long while.
I don't know.
Whether you get back
and familiar with it. Yeah.
I don't know.
Anybody ever bring that up?
Not yet.
No.
Somebody probably will, but that's who it is. It's Agnes Burnham was the secretary of the board, you might say, and before the Mrs. Hoy, I guess.
Yeah.
Jim was with the power company. Well, if there's nothing else, I think I better get going.
Okay.
Well, he's told me that his wife drew up the plans for their home on Catherine Street, as well as the home in which he is presently living. This home is near Alcott, New York. He also feels that this is a very worthwhile project and that we are doing a magnificent job.